Good morning. We are joined here this morning by Aubrey Evans, District Manager with the Riley County Conservation District. Aubrey, good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have you on the program. We're going to talk today about prescribed burning. I know we're about wrapped up with the burn season here this spring, but there's been some concerns, I know, with the ongoing health crisis with the coronavirus and the role everybody plays here during this pandemic. And I wanted to first off ask you a little bit about the background of why rangeland burning happens each year here in the state of Kansas, for those who may not know.
Yeah, sure. So I am certainly no expert at rangeland burning. There's plenty of people that are, but I can give you a real brief basic overview. It's largely done to increase the grass production and also to kind of keep the woody encroachment back. And by woody encroachment, I mean primarily eastern red cedar. We've got some dogwoods and things like that. So that's both beneficial to the stockman's bottom line and the delicate prairie ecosystem that we live in here, which depends on the fire to keep it a grassland. So we get enough rain every year to support a forest, but the fire component is what has kind of historically kept the tall grass prairie as an actual grassland. And we're actually sitting right in the remaining less than 1% of it right here. So it's a very unique landscape.
All right. And obviously it's very important to the bottom line for farmers and ranchers. They use that land for cattle grazing, growing crops, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so What makes conditions favorable in the springtime to do the burning now versus later?
Favorable conditions right now is, we've got, weather patterns, obviously, humidity, things like that factor in, but we're also at the beginning of the growing season for the native grasses. We want to burn off the dead, and so the new growth can push up through that. It'll do a lot better if it's not covered. So they're trying to kind of give it a better chance of getting a good stand, and the cattle actually prefer that new growth as opposed to the old stuff.
Yeah, most of us who've lived here long enough understand the value in the burning and why it occurs. But there are some of us also that don't do well with the air quality that comes as a result of this.
Mm-hmm.
How mindful are producers of things like that?
It's going to be up to the individual. I just want to throw that out there. I have asthma, and it affects me too. So I totally feel that aspect of it. I think a lot of the producers realize that. I know that there have been a lot of efforts, especially here in the last few years. We've got that smoke management tool that a lot of the producers are using right now. We have kind of right around here gone from that original 6-week period in the spring and kind of backed it up to closer to late February, the beginning of March, trying to stretch out that burning period to kind of space that smoke out a little bit. And also there's been a big push towards fall burning. That kind of helps with some of our different weeds, and it's also, again, spreads out the timing of that. So I know producers are thinking about it right now, and as a matter of fact, just this year, I've heard from, and this is just anecdotal, but I work for a board of supervisors who are producers in the county, and I know that most of them have actually reduced their burning this year in light of the COVID pandemic due to KDHE and the KDA requesting that voluntary reduction. So I don't have a hand on the actual numbers of how much that's happening, but I know that at least quite a few of the producers are cognizant of that right now.
And that's kind of a tough catch 22 for a lot of them, because they're stuck at home, and it seems like a golden opportunity to, hey, let's go ahead and get some of this done. But as you mentioned, it is being mitigated a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And this year has actually been a good year. There are years where we see droughts and wildfire risk, and so this year is looking real favorable for burning, and it's difficult, if not impossible, for some of those producers to ignore that simply because some of them are in contracts with USDA or the Conservation District or what have you, and so they're required to do some burning. So some of it absolutely has to get done, and some of it, they're afraid they burn in rotations, and sometimes if they get behind on those rotations, pretty soon they're 5-6 years down the road and they're seeing that woody encroachment again. So they are in a bit of a catch-22.
All right. So does a producer burn his or her own land every year? Or do they? Since you mentioned a rotation, do they rotate it every couple of years?
It depends on the producer. It depends on their goals. Quite a few do burn every year. I think a lot of the guys that I'm dealing with have kind of they'll burn in a, like I said, a rotation. So they'll have one pasture that they burn once every 2 or 3 years, and so that way they're not burning the same pasture every year, but they themselves as a producer do some kind of a burn every year.
Okay. Let me see here. You mentioned they have been reducing some of the burns. What else has been more challenging this year with the ongoing health crisis? Has there been any other challenges facing the producers?
Well, I think the challenges have been myriad. And again, I'm not a farmer myself, and I don't want to speak for them, but I know that there has been some concern with the slaughterhouses, the packing plants, trying to make sure that they're going to stay open and where they're going to sell their cattle to and things like that. So, you know, farming always has its challenges, and they're people too, just like us. So, you know, they're concerned about their family, and they're concerned about their way of living and making that money that they need. So I think, yeah, it's definitely affected them.
So when does prescribed burning wrap up?
Kind of depends on the year. Generally mid-April is kind of the goal.
Okay.
I would like to point out, I guess, the wildfire reduction aspect of this, because, you know, we're thinking year-to-year basis, but if we let that forage and woody encroachment get built up to a certain point, I know a few years back we had that big drought and we had a lot of wildfire concerns, and they were getting kind of frighteningly close to this Riley County area, and so that is a consideration. It's getting rid of that fuel load. So that's just kind of another side of this complex issue is getting rid of that fuel load, because if we do have a wildfire, I mean, imagine the smoke that would cause. So it's kind of one of those deals where an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
That is a very good point. I hadn't thought about that, and you're absolutely right. We don't know what the weather season's going to hold for us yet. I mean, it's not been as wet as it was in 2019, but you know, if we end up having a drought, we certainly don't want to have that extra fuel.
Yeah, so if it's too wet, they can't burn. If it's too dry, they can't burn. So this year is kind of looking pretty good for them, unfortunately. So they're kind of trying to do the best they can with what they got to work with here.
And I know, and I've seen in the past, I know there's, you know, the smoke tends to travel, and sometimes I know there's been not as great of a relationship between some of the folks up in Nebraska and Kansas. Has that improved any? Do you know anything on that?
I'm not involved in those talks, so I probably shouldn't say. I just kind of focus here on Riley County. So
okay, very good. If anybody has any questions or concerns, how do they get a hold of you guys at the Conservation District?
Yep, absolutely. We'd love to talk to them.
Okay. Do you have a phone number there? Or?
Yeah, we are at 537-8764.
Okay, very good. Well, Aubrey, sure appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us on In Focus.
Yeah, thank you for having me.